If you're following along, Psalms 139 again. Now we've come through the introduction. That's been about three or four messages. And I will briefly review with just a fairly quick statement. Those who fear God, and that's who fear God according to Scripture. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's also said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yes.
Those who fear God love God's sovereignty.
Yes, sir.
They love it. They may not always feel that love, but those who fear God, they love God's sovereignty. Those who do not fear God, they hate God's sovereignty. Okay? Those who do not fear God, they fear His sovereignty. You see, sovereignty, the sovereignty of God, is only a frightful thing when you oppose the sovereignty of God.
Exactly.
The sovereignty of God is a frightful thing only when you deny the reality of the sovereignty of God.
Amen.
And Joe said it, and I didn't write that down, but Joe said it very capably this morning. If God is for you, God has always been for you, and God will always be for you. God will not change His mind.
Amen.
And I'm going to say it. No matter what.
Amen.
No matter what.
Yeah.
Though the righteous, what?
Yeah.
Fall.
Yeah.
Isn't that what the Scripture says?
Yeah, it is.
Though the righteous fall, he shall not be utterly cast down.
Amen.
Now, what do we believe that word or that phrase, though the righteous fall, what do you believe that means? I'll tell you what that means. Though the righteous sins against God.
Yeah, that's exactly
that's
right.
What it's talking about. That's what a fall is. That's just right. Like the fall of Adam, only not to the same degree, not as a representative. Though the righteous fall, seven times. What does it say? The structure of the Hebrew is though the righteous fall. Even though it's seven times, it says the Lord upholdeth him with his hand.
Amen.
What that actually is teaching is you can't fall any further than what God's ordained for you to fall.
Exactly.
When David sinned against, or David, or when, well, David too, but when Peter sinned against God, and I'm going back to some things I've said before. Our Lord told him, you're going to deny me three times. He could not help but deny God three times.
Amen.
But he would not deny him four.
That's right.
He couldn't go no further than that. Once that third denial had come forth from his lips, it was over with David. He would not deny him anymore. Why? Because God had determined three times and three times only. Somebody says, I don't like that day. That's your problem. You don't believe God. You don't trust God. See, I trust God. God's people, those to whom at least he's given life and he's converted through the truth of the gospel, God's people trust him. Our God will, has always done, right. He's always done right.
Amen.
You see, Scripture, providence, and life's trials have a work to accomplish.
Yes, sir.
God has a purpose, and as Ecclesiastes says, there's a purpose and a time. Not just a purpose. There's a purpose.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing happens by accident. Everything that happens, happens because God Almighty purposed it to happen. But He did not just purpose it generally.
That's right.
Because Ecclesiastes just doesn't say there's a purpose for everything under the sun. But it says there's a purpose and a time.
Amen.
I heard him quote on TV just the other day.
Yeah.
It was on National Public Radio. Now why I listen to that, I don't know. Joe gets on the internet, I listen to National Public Radio. But some lady come on there and said, it was talking about something totally secular, and she said, when the fullness of time was come.
Yeah.
I thought, do you really understand what you're saying?
Exactly. Right.
You are declaring predestination.
Yes, sir.
If fullness of time can come, that means that time has a place where it wears out. It comes to a head. Something that must happen does happen.
Amen.
But we go further than to say that with generalities. Everything that happens, happens because God purposed it to happen. And God purposed it to happen at the exact time that it happens.
Amen.
You remember Jonah, and I mentioned this, but you remember Jonah. And it says, and let's see if I can find that passage. Where is Jonah? Somebody help me. I can't remember where it's at.
Old Testament.
Yeah, I know. That helps me out a whole lot. I appreciate that, Joe. I'll give you help next time you ask for it publicly. I'm serious, people. You have to help me find it.
Between Obadiah and Micah.
Oh, okay. I'm getting that. Yeah, I know where that's at. I can start working my way back now.
After Hosea, Daniel and all that.
All right, Jonah. Now, if you haven't found it yet, you're on your own. I found it. Jonah, chapter 1. Now let me just begin to read. Look, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And I've heard people preach, Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. That's not what it says. It said Jonah rose up to go to Tarshish to flee from the presence of the Lord. He didn't make it to Tarshish.
Right.
He got on that boat and he met God on that boat.
Yeah, he did,
didn't
sir.
He? God was already there waiting on him.
Exactly.
And Jonah got on that boat because God Almighty ordained that a group of pagan sailors would experience his absolute sovereignty.
Yeah, sir.
And see him work. And what's amazing is Jonah, as much as people, you get tickled, these missionary people.
Yeah.
They talk about, you know, I ran from the Lord for years.
Yeah.
The Lord was calling me to the mission field for years. Jonah ran for about 2 or 3 hours.
That's it.
He got in that boat as soon as they sailed and got out into the deep water, Mason, the storm hit. And look what it says. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Now, was it going to be broken? Because eventually these men would ask Jonah, what's going on? And he's going to tell them, I've offended my God. And the best thing for you to do is to toss me overboard. And so I think even then Jonah knew a little bit about come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. He knew his place wasn't on that boat with those men.
That's right.
Did he not?
Yeah.
You see, these people who talk about running from God, the God they're running from is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Exactly.
Because according to Psalms, the 139th Psalm, David says this, if I make my bed in hell, you're there.
Exactly.
Though I flee to some far place, he doesn't have God chasing him.
No.
What does he say? You are there.
Amen.
You don't run from God, you can only run into God.
That's it.
And this is the truth of Scripture. But let's now begin to look at this. Remember these things? David has 4 specific areas in which he acknowledges the sovereignty of God. And the first one is here, the first 6 verses. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and lay thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Let me just kind of put it this way. David knew by experience what he could not understand in the depths of his soul. David had experienced in his circumstances what he could not totally express with his human language.
Yeah.
This is far, David sums up this first part of it, that God has a sovereign, intimate knowledge of me.
Yes.
In other words, and I don't want to get too far ahead, but God is not figuring me out.
Exactly.
You know?
That's it.
God doesn't just have the jump on me. God knows absolutely everything about me even before I ever existed.
Exactly.
Scripture goes so far as to put it this way: even the hairs of our head are numbered.
Exactly.
I don't believe that was hyperbole.
No.
I don't believe our Lord was exaggerating to prove a point. He meant exactly that, even the hairs of our head are numbered. He didn't say God counted them.
That's right.
No, that's what most people think. God knows how many hairs are. No, they're numbered.
Yeah.
If one falls out, God ordained for it to fall out.
Yeah.
God says, today you've got five, tomorrow you have four. You're going to have four tomorrow. Right?
Yes, sir.
Somebody says that's silly. People say that about Peter as well.
Amen.
You will deny me three times. And this is not an excuse. This is not go and do what you want. You're going to do that anyway.
Yeah.
Every one of us will leave this place this morning, and in our own foggy mind, we're going to do what we want to do.
Yeah.
Are we not?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to go out here and engage willingly in everything we engage in. Even though sometimes we may feel forced against our will, eventually, David, we give in because of circumstances or propriety, whatever it might be. We're going to go out and do exactly what we want to do. Only that's an illusion. That's an illusion. We're going to go out today and we're going to do exactly what God Almighty ordained for us to do. I know some people don't like this, but that's their problem. They hate the light.
Yeah.
As Joe had said last week, they hate the light.
Yes, sir.
They don't come to the light lest their deeds should be, what?
Yeah.
Exposed is the word that it's actually given. Yes, it's that our deeds should be exposed. People who do truth are not righteous people. They are sinners who bow to the truth of God.
Exactly.
You see, David's cry here, that is, as he begins, David's cry, his joyous cry, is, Lord, you know all about me.
Amen.
But David's cry is not a boast. Now, you know, this is something you, I used to hear a lot. It's something that people still say today. But they don't say it with the same attitude that David said it.
Yeah.
Well, the Lord knows my heart. Many people make that statement, well, the Lord knows my heart, seeking some justification
exactly.
for their heart.
Exactly.
In other words, but God knows how good I am.
Yeah.
Now, they know they ought not say that, so they say, well, God knows my heart. That's just another way of deceiving themselves and trying to deceive other people and actually say, well, God knows I'm really actually a pretty good person.
Exactly what
right? That's what they mean by it. That's not what they say. The fact is, God does know our heart.
Amen.
God does know your heart. But let me tell you something. If you're in Christ, that ought not frighten you.
Amen. Right.
God knows you're a miserable, wretched sinner.
Yes, He does.
You're no surprise to Him.
Exactly.
But what if I go out and do this tomorrow? What do you mean, what if? You probably will. Eventually, you're going to fall.
Yes, sir.
If you're in this way for any length of time, you will fall.
Amen.
God's going to see to it.
Yeah.
God's going to see to it.
Oh, yeah.
Remember what our Lord said. I go back to Peter again. Now, you think about this. here's our Lord, and he looks at Pilate. I don't know exactly, but I figure, Ellen, he fastened his eyes on him and looked right in Peter's face and said, Peter, Satan has desired you to sift you as wheat.
Yeah.
And you know what? God said, do it.
Yeah. That's it.
Right? Now, God, who do you think has more power, God or Satan?
Exactly. God.
Who do we believe is in absolute control of the universe? God. But let me tell you, if God... Now, somebody said, well, that's because Satan asked. Yes, it does say Satan asked, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Right? But we also have another illustration of Job.
Yeah.
Where Satan didn't ask.
Exactly.
God brought Job up.
That's exactly right.
So you see, you can't pigeonhole God.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Well, but God only does that just because the devil comes along and, oh, don't be stupid.
Exactly.
God does what he wants to do because he's pleased to do it.
Amen.
God has never done anything that he was displeased to do.
Exactly.
When he ultimately damns men, it will be to the glory of his holiness and righteousness and justice. Scripture says, what if God willing to show his wrath? He wants to. God wills to show his wrath, but I thank God he also wills to show his mercy.
Amen.
You see, I deserve wrath.
Exactly.
But if he's pleased, I will have mercy.
Amen.
See, I have no other option but wrath.
That's it.
Unless he's pleased to show me mercy. And then you know what? I will have mercy.
Amen.
It is mine.
Amen.
Why, O Lord, thou knowest me. This ain't a boast. David here is affirming God's absolute, intimate, ultimate, unfailing knowledge of him.
Yes.
David can't make a step or say a word or have a desire or a thought that God's not already up on.
That's right.
And in charge of.
Exactly.
If anything's outside of God's sovereign control, God controls nothing.
That's right.
If anything, I say, if anything is outside of God's sovereign control, then God controls nothing.
Yeah.
Because David, if there's any one, it's just one thing that God's not in control of, it could throw askew everything else that follows that. Now, either God controls everything or he controls nothing.
That's right. Amen.
I said, well, you think you know it all. No, I know that much.
Yeah.
I don't know it all, but I know that much.
There you go.
Why? Because this book says so.
Exactly.
It says so. Yeah. You see, these people who talk about God knows my heart or God knows how sincere I am, sometimes I'm sincerely wrong.
Yes, sir.
Our problem's not our sincerity. Our problem's our actual motivation and our deeds. That's our problem.
That's it.
I mean, you know, and I'm not going to tell you what it is because I'll be sure, honest with you, I ain't for sure what it is, but my worst sin ever, I was sincerely in it.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yeah.
I sincerely wanted to do it. Sincerely willed to do it.
Yeah.
My volition run me in that direction headlong and headstrong.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
But even if that was before I was saved, even if that was before I was regenerated and converted, God Almighty still knew me absolutely. He even allowed me to live.
Yes, sir.
Every breath Peter had when he said, I don't, that, especially that last one.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know how we, as men and women, we look at things in degrees.
Yeah.
Our human laws are like that. The more money you steal, the longer you can go to prison.
That's right.
Right?
Yep.
See, with God, if you steal, you're a thief.
Yeah.
You deserve death.
Exactly.
You know, there is no degrees, but we see this in, we like degrees.
Yeah.
Don't we? Because we can always look at, or hopefully we can always find somebody else just a little worse, so maybe we can have a little mercy.
Exactly.
Huh? No matter where I am, where I'm at in right life, we talk about God knows me. Yes, he knows absolutely about me. And as Peter, every time Peter said, I don't know him. Who gave Peter the breath to say those words? The second time, I don't know him. Who gave him the breath to say those words? The third time, and it says, it's what the book says, he cursed and he swore.
Yeah.
That's two things,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He didn't say just a cuss. He said he cursed and then swore.
Yeah.
I don't know the so-and-so.
Yeah.
Who gave him the breath to do that?
Exactly.
God did.
Amen.
God Almighty was the one that ordained that it happened.
Yes, sir.
And God Almighty controlled every instance in that circumstance.
Yes, sir.
You see, the point is, yes, we're going to fall, but you ain't going to fall no further than what God Almighty purposed for you to fall.
Amen.
Exactly.
And you will not be able to help to fall as far as God ordained for you to fall.
Yeah.
Think about this. When Peter was walking on that water, and I like what Tim James said. Have you ever tried walking on water?
Yeah.
He said, I fall, I sink every time. Now, most folks, they're like, I'm a believer. Boy, I walk on the water with Peter. Now, every time we step out on the water, you know where we're going to go?
Yeah.
Down.
That's it.
Well, we don't have enough faith to keep ourselves up.
Exactly.
We may have faith. Peter had faith, but not enough to keep yourself up.
Exactly.
It still took what? Lord, save me.
Amen.
Or I perish.
Exactly.
Right? It doesn't say he asked to walk on the water no more.
That's right.
Did he?
Nope.
Uh-huh. And it doesn't say that the Lord let him rise up out of the water and come on to him. Christ got a hold of him.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yeah.
See, the point is not, can I walk on water? Is he there to save me? Because I'm going to sink.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not like that. Well, we're different then.
Yeah.
Maybe you're a lot better person than I am, but I tell you what, you're not righteous enough to gain God's favor.
Amen.
You're not righteous enough to gain God's favor. Yes, God does. And sometimes that scares me that God has searched me and He knows me. Sometimes that scares me. But yet we cannot, we should not, and by God's grace and His Spirit and His Word, I pray that He will not let us sink off into dark spiritual despair. Because the truth is, yes, He does know. He knows how bad I am. He knows how faulty I am. He's the one that's given me life and breath. He could have killed me a long time ago.
Yes, sir.
And He will kill me when my time comes.
Exactly.
And I got no problem with saying with it. No matter what happens, Joe, if you preach my funeral, you say God killed Walter.
Yeah.
That's all right.
I can do that.
I won't care. I really won't care.
I know.
I may not even hear that message. I won't care. You can say whatever you want about me when I'm gone. And a lot of people will. And when they do, when they say, you know, well, I knew Walter. He did this. He said that. You know what you ought to say to them? You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. You're probably right. Probably worse than what you're telling me.
Oh, yeah.
But his hope wasn't in himself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my only hope, is that my hope's not in myself.
Amen.
Exactly.
God does know me. David joys in the Lord, who even knows his unrighteousness. Hmm? Because he cries out, God, show it to me.
Yeah.
Right? Verse 23. Now think about this. Now, I haven't gotten far at all. Well, let me pause. It's verse 23 and 24 is the point I'm making here. But look at the wording. It begins, O Lord, thou hast searched me.
Yeah.
And known me. And in other words, and look at the six verses. You've known everything.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Up, sitting, down, right, going forward, going back, whatever, you know. And no matter where I go, there you are. Right? See, and all this builds upon the other. These are not the separate little things, you know. Everything. Lord, you've already searched me, but then he says what? Look at the word, search me, O God. Now, is God doing that for his benefit or ours?
Exactly.
He's already searched me completely.
Yes, sir.
He already knows everything about me. He knows everything that will happen to me, or that I will do in the future. He's already searched me. David cries out, but Lord, search. Thou hast searched me, but search me. What? For God's, so that God might gain more knowledge? God doesn't gain knowledge. God knows everything absolutely, completely, eternally.
Yeah.
The searching is for David's benefit. But look, is David crouching in the corner? Oh, I hope God don't discover my sin. He already knows it.
Exactly.
He knows it before we commit it.
Yes, sir.
Search me, O God, and know my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. and lead me in the way everlasting. Notice David doesn't even cry out for God to make him righteous.
Nope.
Just lead me in the way everlasting.
Yes, sir.
You see, David, once God had converted him, David knew enough about himself and enough about God in light of his lack of Scripture.
Yeah.
Remember, we've looked at that. Even in light, David, of his lack of Scripture, David knew by experience God Almighty already knows everything.
Yeah.
You know? You remember, was it Nathan, wasn't it? The prophet that finally came that God sent to David to expose to David his sin. David knew what he'd done. But he, like the rest of us, when we're caught, when we're engaged in the thing, we have this fog over our eyes. We have this fog that we put over our hearts and our minds and our consciences. We try to soothe ourselves in it. But eventually God sends someone or something along that exposes us to ourselves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
David was not exposed to God by Nathan. David was exposed to David by Nathan.
Exactly.
Nathan didn't expose David for God's benefit. Nathan exposed David for David's benefit.
Amen. That's right.
And when David heard the truth, and it took more than just the words, because David knew what he'd done.
Oh yeah.
He knew what he'd done. David did have the law.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what he'd done was wrong.
Oh, yeah.
But he needed the power of God's Spirit to bring him down under that. You know what? He cried out for God's mercy and compassion and forgiveness, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what Nathan told him before David ever cried out a word?
Yeah.
God hath forgiven thee.
Amen.
You know that?
Yeah.
God hath forgiven thee. Why? Lord, you've searched me. You know me. And look at it. Thou knowest my down sitting, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Is this afar off? Is that spatial? You know what I mean by spatial? Is that your way over there? Or your way up there? Or your way down yonder? You know me and you're way out there. Is that what I mean by afar off? This is kind of a bad translation. What it means is you know me from way back yonder. The time here, this distance here is not spatial. It is time. That's why I said it. This distance is not spatial. This distance has to do with time. God knew David. God knows us before time ever existed.
Amen.
Now, in this one passage, and let me see if I can find it here, because I've jumped ahead just slightly because of time. But you see, as David, God says, David says of God, God knows and understands, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thou knowest my down sittings and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off.
Yes.
Now, if you would take, I'm not going to take the time. You go back, Isaiah 22, verse 11. You can check it. Isaiah 25, verse 1. And Isaiah 37, verse 26, this phrase translated here, afar off, is translated as to time rather than distance.
Yeah.
Okay? You see, God, the point is, God knew exactly what I would be in the fall of Adam before my conversion, during my conversion, and after my conversion. And during my, maybe another conversion if I need one, you know. And I'm not going to explain that. God knows everything about me, how afar off. Not way out yonder, but way back yonder.
Exactly.
Even then, and he still purposed to let me exist.
Yes, sir.
No, more than that. He made me.
Amen.
Now, see, we know it's not spatial. It's not distance because David says, wherever I go, you're there.
That's right.
So it's not you know me from way off yonder. You knew me way back yonder.
Exactly.
Because no matter where I go, you're already there.
Amen.
You see? So it's not distance, it's time. It's not spatial, you see? And not only does God know me, in spite of knowing me and being right there, God still decided to what? What is it the next... let me find it'd be 6:12. It'd be 13, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully, you know what that word made means? What it is? Created.
Yes.
Now think about, David's not talking about being created before Adam. Mm-hmm. David was created in Adam.
Yes, sir.
David was created after the fall. Mm-hmm. And God made David like God made David, because that was God's judgment. God told Adam, in the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And God's purpose is that everyone else that exists is created in Adam's image, that fallen image. And God knew this and purposed this, and David, he did it anyway.
Yeah.
You know why?
That's it.
Now, don't you think God could have created another human race?
Oh, yeah.
What's the problem? If you can create one, you can create a million.
Exactly.
Why not just let that one go? And create another one that wouldn't fall, Mason. Why? Because God was pleased to show mercy and grace.
Amen.
Compassion. Something that that creation could not know apart from a fall. Mm-hmm. You see, God didn't save us because we fail. We fail because God purposed to save us. Now you chew on that for a while.
Yeah.
Father, I pray that as we continue here together, that we may fellowship with one another and be thankful to you for one another and rejoice in one another, but may it all be around the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give us an enjoyable and pleasant time together. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.